The subject of this class tonight will be principle and unity or oneness. I think I'm going to stretch your mind tonight. I really think that the subject that we're dealing with is one of the most important subjects that we can wrap our mind around. It's one of the most important aspects of the nature of God and the nature of our own spirit. Carl Jung wrote, "The decisive question for man is he related to something infinite or not? This is the telling question of his life. Only if we know that the thing which truly matters is the infinite can we avoid fixing our interest upon futilities and upon all kinds of goals which are not of real importance." It's a great statement. Your mind is a goal-seeking mechanism. And if we do not give it the right goals on which it can focus, become aware, and demonstrate a continuing expansion of thought, then we will give it goals that lead nowhere. And consequently, our lives will be frustrated experiences filled with futility. There are some worthy goals. And of course, the most important, the worthiest of all goals is that of discovering who we are, discovering something of our real nature and of our relationship with God and with the spirit of life, with this magnificent universe. The aspect of God as principle is basic to all higher understanding or consciousness. If you and I would become a true mystic or a great practitioner of truth, a master of life, a person who has developed a measure of control of their destiny, one who has the capacity to live their days well with order and with peace and with the capacity to predetermine the nature and the quality of the time that stretches before us, we must understand something of principle. People do not usually think of God as principle, but such he is. Principle is defined, and that's P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, the ultimate source, origin, or cause of something. A fundamental truth, law, doctrine, or motivating force, an essential element, constituent, or quality. The scientific law that explains a natural action, or the method of a thing's operation. Now, one of the most uncomplimentary things that you can say about another person is that he or she is unprincipled. A person without principles. Well, of course, there is no such thing as a person without principles, but sometimes when we use that term, we mean a person who vacillates or who deviates, who would make any statement or do anything to accomplish their own personal ends. They do not live in a high principled way. Well, principle is defined as the ultimate source, origin, or cause of something, and the method of a thing's operation. Now, what is the ultimate source, origin, or cause of each of us? What is your source? Where is your source? I know that if I ask some people this, they would say, well, I come from Texas. That's my source. Or, in my case, Southwest Virginia, from those hills in Southwest Virginia. Well, that's not where I came from. That's where my mother was when she gave birth to me, but that is not my source, nor was my mother. My parents were not my source. The source or origin of each one of us, as a matter of fact, of everything that exists upon this planet and even the planet itself, is the universe, or the creator of the universe who caused the universe to exist or to stand out. the Creator, or God. God is our source. Now that is a statement that we would all accept. God is our source. The basic principle of all life and of all creation is unity. Unity. The basic principle of life is unity. There's only one life, one presence, one mind, one Creator, and one creation, and the Creator and the creation are one. That is the principle of life, the at-one-ment of God with all created things. And the fall of man, represented in the Old Testament, was the loss in our consciousness of our awareness of our oneness with God and the consequent experience of separation because we lost the attunement of awareness that we're one with our source, that the Father and I are one. We have known this and accepted this as an intellectual exercise, but it must become our experience because it's the truth of us. This is the principle of life. Epictetus wrote in the first century A.D., "Thou art thyself a fragment torn from God. Thou hast a portion of him within thyself. You are a pinch of God." God's substance. Your spirit is the spirit of God. God is not one thing and you another thing, and you praying to God at some distant part of the universe. The Father and I are one. The basic premise and principle of all life. Edgar Mitchell, one of the astronauts who landed on the moon and, of course, was brought back, and many of us had the delightful experience of sharing long moments with Edgar Mitchell on the cruise that we took into the Caribbean this past spring. Edgar Mitchell said, "Science has traditionally told us we must somehow separate ourselves from the universe and be the cool, objective observer of the universe. Having stood in the midst of its immensity and considered the effort to place me there, that view seems no longer plausible. I am an inseparable part of all that is." A fantastic statement. You are an inseparable part of the whole thing. Now, so often, as we grow in understanding, the intellect starts with where we are and climbs the ladder from the bottom. We start with the smallness of things and spread out. Well, tonight, we're going to start on the other end. We're going to start with the largeness of things and bring ourselves back to the center where we now are. You're a part of a magnificent, living, loving, breathing universe that consists of exact laws or principles, undeviating principle. The dictionary defines science as exact knowledge, truth ascertained, systematically arranged, and showing the operation of general laws. It's a well-known fact that an exact science is based upon a universal, unchanging principle with exact relations and methods by which the principle is expressed and proved. All conclusions must be in harmony with the premise upon which the science is based. Any scientist in any field is working with a series of provable conclusions that are impersonal. They are the same conclusions arrived at by all the scientists who understand the premises of that particular science. Well, would you not agree that religion must be equally dependable? Religion, if it exists at all, must also be an exact science. And we, if we begin to grow in understanding, become spiritual or religious scientists, if you will. There are things for us to understand, and one conclusion will lead to another conclusion or another law. Religion, or the spiritual life, is and exists as an absolute unchanging principle with laws that can be proved under every circumstance and by which man can learn to solve the problems of life and produce correct and harmonious results. That's why principle is so important. We're dealing with a science that is predictable and with which you can get predetermined experiences in your life. This is what religion should have been teaching us for hundreds and thousands of years. But frequently, religion gets off on another track and sets up arbitrary rules based on human thinking. And a great deal of the tradition that is developed along the way in time becomes the religion that people practice, not the principle of infinite understanding. And this is what Jesus was speaking to in his time and with his people. He was saying to them, let's get away now from the traditions that have become our religion, and let's get back to the truth that will set us free. You too can do these things that I do. These things that I do are under a law that can be understood and practiced by any person who is willing to master that law. Now, we know that there's not one of us here who could not ultimately play this musical instrument here at my right, this organ, or the piano at my left. We also know that it would take some practice, perhaps a little bit more for some of us, because we are students of voice or some other science, right? If one person can play this organ, I can, if I'm willing to follow the discipline and practice the principles of music. Would you agree? If it can be done by one person, it can be done by any inhabitant of this universe. That's principle. We, you and I, live in a very intelligent universal unity. We're subject to the principles or laws of this larger body and to the wisdom of the higher mind. How does the universe work? Remember a few moments ago when I defined principle, when I read the definition to you, it says, the method of a thing's operation. If I can understand how the universe works, I can understand something about how I work. And if I can understand how I work, I can also understand something of how the universe works, because my mind and its mind are the same mind. We function in the same way. It is the macrocosm. I am the microcosm. I am the little one like it. Do you agree? Okay. Let's consider a few of the generally accepted principles. Now, the first one, when I tell it to you, when I give it to you, will not seem like very much. Water seeks its own level. Not very exciting, is it? Water seeks its own level. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, it has a lot to do with you. If it didn't seek its own level, you might walk into your garage and drown if it had a leak. It just might fill right up and drown you when you backed your car out. But water seeks its own level. It runs off and meets, ultimately, the level of water. Now, what's true on one plane is true on all other planes. If you can discover a truth that exists in the world around you, at that moment you have also discovered the same understanding that exists within your own mind. Water seeks its own level. Consciousness seeks its own level too, doesn't it? Suppose someone moves from Texas to Michigan because they didn't like Texas. They move to Michigan because things are great in Michigan. Do you have any idea what will happen? That person will seek and find automatically the level of their consciousness here. Everything that was true of them in Texas in a very short time will be true of them in Michigan. Water seeks its own level. Consciousness seeks its own level. And this is a principle that cannot be broken. It's impersonal. It doesn't care who the operator of the consciousness is, nor does it care where the water came from or where it goes. Water will seek its own level. Let's consider the law, the principle of gravity. As defined in the dictionary, gravity is the force of gravitation being for any of two sufficiently massive bodies directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Now, I want you to remember that. Well, if you don't remember it, it's all right, because the universe will never forget it. It always knows it. The law of gravity is always working. It never fails to work. It never shuts off. Even if the president's plane should begin to plummet to the ground, if the most important person in our nation should fall from the sky, the law of gravity will still work. It's very important that it works. Can you imagine how confusing it would be if every Monday at 12 o'clock it shut off? Suppose that these principles were at the whim of some operator. We would have lots of trouble. Consider the principle. Matter expands when heated. Matter always expands when heated. Engineers must take this into account when they are constructing an engine. They must know, and they do know, exactly how much expansion to build into, how much to allow for in that engine so that it will not freeze up under certain conditions. Well, if matter expands when heated, are you not aware that your own life expands under certain conditions? Have you not felt the warmth of the sun and the feeling of expansion that comes into your entire being? There's certain music that expands your spirit. As a matter of fact, even as I said that, I had little chill bumps that just whizzed right up my spine. The warmth of love is an expanding influence on our consciousness. Cold constricts and contracts, doesn't it? There are vibrations that constrict and contract. All of the negative emotions do exactly the same thing. The expansion and contraction that takes place in the material world around us also takes place in the world of our own spirit. And if we can know those things, if we are aware of those principles that cause us to expand and can work with them and can eliminate the things that constrict, cause our spirit to grow small. See how important it is? Principles do not change or vary, and they do not increase or diminish. Principle was the same a billion years ago and will be the same a billion years hence. Principles do not play favorites. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th and 9th verses. And remember that Jesus Christ represents the higher consciousness in man, the Christ consciousness, that dimension within us that is changeless and that is principle. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unchanging, undeviating principle or power, love, intelligence. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. You and I do not create principles. Have you ever heard a person talk about their principles? There was a time in my life when I had arranged for myself a set of principles that I lived by. Correction, I died by them. They were my principles, my concepts. This is what I said was true for me, and if you didn't like it, then we would need to discuss that at some length. Well, don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Principles are not ideas arrived at by the mind of men. Principles are universal. They exist. They will make you or they will break you. If you and I are having any difficulties in our lives, it's because we do not understand principle and we're not practicing spiritual principles in some part of our lives. And to understand principle, the principle that is back of that particular experience, means that your life will change. If we understand the principle of success, we will be successful. If we understand and practice the principle of health, we will be healthy. That's a law. It cannot be broken. Your spiritual strength comes as a gift from God, not from ceremonial rules about eating certain foods, a method which, by the way, hasn't helped those who have tried it. Again, that's from Hebrews, reminding us that all good things come from God, and that principle and understanding and the practicing of principle is how we arrive at the higher life, the more bountiful, prosperous life that intuitively we understand. God is the principle of perfect harmony, and God does not change, so perfect harmony is the nature of all creation. This universe is a perfectly harmonious, whole beingness. All of the parts of the universe work together for the good of all of the other parts of the universe. Remember when in the scripture it is said, a house divided against itself could not stand? There is only one power in the universe, God the good, omnipotent, all-powerful. There are not two powers. If the universe had two powers, it could not stand. They would be two conflicting powers, each vying to have their own way. There is no such thing as God and the devil. What appears to be the devil is merely the wrong use of the one power. But they're not two powers. The misapplication, the unprincipled use of power is what appears to be the devil. Now, prayer is answered because God is principle. Your prayers can be responded to because God is undeviating principle. And when we pray correctly, we bring ourselves into harmony with the law of being. The right kind of prayer does not try to change the law. It does not try to bring about exceptions in our favor. So often, in the past, we have prayed to get God to do something that God was not already doing. To get God to say yes, where the answer was obviously no. Now, prayer does not ask God to change the laws of nature for our temporary convenience, but prayer is designed to tune us in, so to speak, with divine principle. If I establish in my own mind the perfect relationship, the relationship of harmony with principle, with the law of good, the presence of God, then I will find that everything in my life will begin to work out the way that it's supposed to be. Let me give you this example. If you tune your television set to channel 7 and on channel 7, you do not see the program that you desire. Do you kick the set? And do you fuss and fume? And do you pray to God to let channel 4 come in on where channel 7 is? You don't do that, do you? You turn to channel 4. And because you know that when you have tuned into channel 4, you've tuned out all of the other channels. You're tuned into the vibration of channel 4. Everything in this universe is a vibration. Light, sound, is a vibration. If you're tuned in to something in your life that you don't like, or if you have not tuned in to the good that you desire, what's the principle? The principle is that you, the moment that you're in tune with your good, you will experience that good, and that the good that you seek already exists. This universe is one whole universe, and right where you are, God is. All of God is right here. All the good that we seek is here, and what we need to do is to become at one with it, in tune with it. We need to alter our set, to change our channel, to change our vibration. Not to get God to change anything, but to change our own vibration. You may think this is a limiting or depressing statement that I'm making, but quite the opposite. It gives you the freedom to tune anything out and tune anything in that your heart desires. If you should raise your consciousness and get in tune with the harmony that exists in this universe, then God, as the principle of perfect harmony, becomes the law and the experience of your own being. Harmony is defined as agreement in feeling, approach, action, disposition, or the like. The pleasing interaction or appropriate combination of the elements in a whole. God and I are one. And the moment that we are in tune with each other, at that moment, the reason and the purpose of my existence is being fulfilled. The Father and I are one. the Creator and the created become one experience. All the good that is there becomes the dynamic of my own life. Harmony, again, is agreement in feeling, approach, action, or disposition. Each one of us have our own harmonics, and by harmonics I mean our own characteristic vibration or sound. At every moment we're sending out our own vibration into the surrounding universe, and for the most part we've been out of tune with life, with universal life. Now, is this not consistent with Emerson's often quoted truth that what a person is speaks so loud that I can't hear what he says? You don't have to hear what a person says to know where they are, do you? Not really. And if they start talking in a few moments, you'll have them pegged anyhow. And if you don't get them pegged in the first 5 minutes, then keep listening. And back of their words, you'll begin to pick up a vibration. A lady called me yesterday, long distance, from the South. And with the first words that she spoke, I knew that she was in trouble. Her harmonics, her vibration, her sound gave her away, the way she said hello, the sad way that she said hello. And as we talked, I discovered that she wanted to change everything except her own feelings, her approach, her actions, her disposition. She knew that if everything else would change, she would be all right. Now, I was not able to convince her otherwise, and so after a few minutes, our conversation ceased. Would you believe that within 30 minutes, I received another call from the West Coast, a lady, with tears in her eyes and in her voice. But somehow, although the tears were there and I could hear them, feel them, she was not in so much trouble because we had only talked a moment and I could tell that she was willing to change her feelings, her approach, her actions, and her disposition. We talked for a few moments and would you believe that the spirit in me began to speak to the spirit in her, and there was this exchange, this response, there was a unity, a oneness. And my mind said the things to her that I could not possibly have known to say myself. And she heard and was changed. Her whole attitude toward her life changed. But this is a principle, this principle of oneness. Not only are we one with God, but we are one with each other, and the Spirit in me and the Spirit in you are one, and we will experience this oneness if we believe it. We're experiencing it now, in this moment, are we not? You know far more than I can say to you. You know more than my words convey, because you are in tune with the higher regions of my own mind. The universe is a perfectly ordered, perfectly mannered, perfectly happy, self-sustaining, living, loving entity or whole thing, and its spirit is my spirit. That's a principle. I must bring myself into harmony with its wholeness by practicing its principles in all of my affairs. On Saturday, a young man sat here tuning this piano. And I sat downstairs for 2 hours listening to him, except from time to time I would bound upstairs to spend a few moments with him, because tuning a piano is a very exciting experience. Very exciting experience. As I listened to him, I could hear the change in the pitch. I'm not familiar with musical terms, but I could hear, with my own ear, I could hear when the string was out. And he would take his little wrench and pull it around, and I could hear that string in tune, and then the next one, and then he'd go back to the one before and tune it with the original one. There was one string that with which he started, and from that starting point, this piano was tuned. Well, my beautiful friend, this universe is in tune. There's nothing wrong with it. The spirit of life is perfect harmony, perfect love, perfect power, perfect intelligence, perfect, 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 and infinite variety of things that it is. Laws. Principles that you cannot see, but you can experience. You can hear them when they become themselves in you, when your own heart begins to beat with that same vibration. Our problem has been that we have tuned it out. We have tuned God out by tuning into our own limited and limiting ideas. And the principle of life is that if I am willing to be changed, if I'm willing to change my attitudes, my feelings, my actions, then the most remarkable thing can happen to me. And as it does, there is that experience of higher consciousness that many mystics have experienced, including Raynor Johnson, who wrote about the understanding that comes when we're in tune with the infinite. He said, the illumination or radiance which is seen to infuse everything without is felt to come from within. Everything that you see outside yourself is also in your own spirit. The sense of belonging to a new and greater unity is felt. That which is seen forms a part of a larger whole, and we are one with that whole universe. Now hear this. The emotional tones are always supremely attractive. Pulsing light, livingness, joy, peace, happy wonder. Through them, and interwoven, is an enormously enhanced sense of the supreme values, and the most adequate description usually seems to the experiencer to be a revelation of God. A revelation of God, the sense of oneness with this higher mind that speaks in us. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there. Few others have ever known. That's a principle. The principle is that God and I are one, not just as abstract ideas, but to be experienced. That's my destiny. And when I beat with that universal vibration, it becomes an experience that transcends ordinary life. One of the greatest messages given to the race through the scriptures is that God is man's supply. Everything the Father has is mine. That is a principle. I may not experience it, but it is a principle. I can experience it when I begin to believe it and work with it. When it becomes so real in my feelings, it will be my experience. Especially if I begin to speak this word through the spoken word. Isaiah said, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereunto it is sent. And we know that words and thoughts are a tremendous vibratory force molding the affairs and even the body of the person who speaks. What you say, when you speak a word, you send out a vibration. When that dear lady called me yesterday, I knew that she was in trouble because of the vibration that I felt, and she would not change her vibration. Therefore, her experience will not change. Her word will not return into her void. She was saying, my life is miserable because they make it miserable, and so her life is miserable because they make it miserable, and they will make it even more miserable because that is the law. True? Her word will not return into her void. And if you and I speak the word of truth, that there's only one presence and one power in my life, God, the good, that I'm in perfect harmony with God, and that God is my supply. Everything I need comes from God. It may come through General Motors, but it comes from God. It may come through him, whoever he happens to be, but it comes from God. It does not come from that person, and therefore I know that God is my supply. And that my supply is not limited to any particular persons or places or corporations or things, but my good can come to me through an infinite variety of channels. That's a principle. And I believe in the principle. I do not believe in the particular channels. I believe in the principle. And my harmonics are that I believe that God is the principle of my life. If you've been living in a situation in which there's been a lack of harmony, where there's been ill feelings or vindictiveness, spite, or injustice. Perhaps in a situation where someone is trying to control or take unfair advantage of another person. then get the feeling, the realization, the real I in you, the Christ in you, this higher self. Get the feeling that divine principle is the only power that exists, and that you are living and experiencing the perfect harmony of life. And do not judge yourself or your life by the apparent circumstances. We have a tendency to judge ourselves by what's going on where we live, where we work. Practice seeing yourself as a living part of a fair, orderly, loving universe, a universe of undeviating principle that created you so that it might care for you. It does care for you. It will respond to you. In these six lessons that we're completing this evening, we've attempted to examine some of the major aspects of God. Now, I know that you're aware that God is much more than we can possibly put into words. We have just scratched the surface of a few of those things that make up the nature, the essence of God. And that we have been examining these aspects one by one. It would be the same as examining one of these roses that are here on the lectern. We know that the rose, for instance, has color. It has weight, it has shape, it has fragrance. We might examine its color. You might say, that is the loveliest pink rose that I've ever seen. Color would only be one aspect of it. Then you might look at the shape, the form of it, to see the beauty, the gracefulness of that, of the form that this particular rose has chosen. You might even examine its fragrance. You might smell it. That gives you something else that you can experience from that rose. But the rose is all of these things and more. And the more that you understand about a rose, the more you can experience that rose. So it is with God. These seven aspects are true of God all at the same time, and if I can understand and experience and practice more than one of them at the same time, then my relationship with God, with the universe, is going to be enhanced. It will be enhanced because of my quickened awareness, my awakened knowledge. Because principle is true. The universe always responds. I happen to look down and see Karen Boland seated here. Last Wednesday, she and Amy, her daughter, went to New York to spend a few days there, the two of them together, mother and daughter, seeing some plays. Neither of them had been to New York before, and it was one of the most exciting experiences of their lives. Now, before Karen left, she spent, several hours trying to reach a young lady that had been trying to get in touch with Karen, to no avail. Numerous telephone calls. And Karen wanted to speak to this lady before she left and could not. In the course of being in New York, they saw so many sights. They were on the top of the Empire State Building, and they went out to the Statue of Liberty. So many places that Karen has not yet told me all of the places. Now, at one time, they were at the Windows of the World restaurant that is on the top of the World Trade Building, 107 floors up, having lunch. Karen looked across the room, and there, stepping up to the salad bar, was the lady that she was looking for in Detroit. Simple thing, isn't it? Figure the odds. Seek, and you shall find. That's a principle. Seek a thing, and you shall find it. No, the principle is seek a thing, and it will find you. Do you believe in a universe of problems? Then you will experience universal problems. Do you believe in a universe of solutions? Do you believe that you simply cannot have a problem without a solution, a question without an answer? then you live in a universe that will provide you with the solutions, and write down your question, and lo, the answer will come. It must come. That is a principle. You cannot ask a question and not receive the perfect answer if you but believe and expect, if you anticipate. This morning I was looking for a book in my study. It is always on the shelf behind me, and it was not there. And I heard myself ask out loud, why is this book not here? Where is this book? A few moments later, I found myself going to the copy machine with nothing to copy. I looked at the postage meter, and I didn't have a letter in my hand, only to discover that the mail was not sent out yesterday. And I looked at the mail, letters that had been typed yesterday, and my mind asked the question, why did the mail not go out? And without thinking, I lifted the mail up, and underneath the mail was my book. Now, why did I go there? Because my mind asked a question. It said, where is my book? And Spirit took me by my little hand and walked me into the other room and said, here is your book. It's under the mail. Now, how it got there. Principle. We live in a universe of principle. My mind consists of all the elements of universal mind or God mind. The principle of unity guarantees that this is so and makes it necessary. And as Eric Fromm once wrote, man's task in life is precisely the paradoxical one of realizing his individuality and at the same time transcending it and arriving at the experience of universality. Only the fully developed individual self can drop the ego. We are here to develop ourselves, but strangely enough, to become what we already are, not to create something. You can't create you. Thank God you don't need to. You already exist. Principle exists. And you are one with the principle of life. The perfect life of God is your spirit. And we are here walking through these experiences, through these relationships, through these things we call problems, so that we might discover where we are out of tune. Every now and then, life will pluck your guitar. And the note you hear, you're not going to like. But you can tune it. You can tune it. And the moment you're in tune, your problem disappears. And in the place of the problem, there is an awakening, an experience, an illumination, a joy, a peace. Thank God for our problems. We discover ourselves there. And we can change our vibration. We can change our harmonics. We can let go of the old ideas that have separated us from our good and begin to discover and to experience the larger good that has always been waiting for our awakening. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It will always be the same, but our experience of it will change, will alter, will become enhanced. Our growth is not a matter of becoming something that we're not. It is a matter of being in tune with that which is. How many times have you said, I can't do that because it's too difficult? I can't do that because I can't make the proper arrangements. I've tried to do that, but I cannot put it all together. Have you ever said that? It is not true. Anything that has ever been done on this earth can be done by you. If one person has done it, you can do it. If one person has felt it, you can feel it. If one person has known it to be the truth, it is the experience of your own spirit. You are magnificent because you are God's expression. You're God's instrument. You are God's way of experiencing God's self here upon this earth. You can be what you already are. You can be free. You can be happy. You can be that perfect self. God is principle, the principle of perfect harmony, perfect oneness. God and you and I are ever one. And that's the way it really is. God bless you. You're a great class.
This concludes the final tape in this series entitled How to Achieve Higher Consciousness by Jack Bolin.